Hello, I'm Lauren Booth. Welcome to Comment, Press TV's live world affairs programme, the show where you get the chance to have your say on the latest events around the world. This programme comes live from London, but wherever you are, we want to hear from you. And we'll even call you back so you won't have any expensive telephone bills, aren't we kind? George Galloway can't be with us tonight, so you'll be speaking directly to me when you call +44 208 601 4555. You can SMS on +44 7800 00 8066. Or if you prefer email, then just write to comment@presstv.co.uk. I want to hear what you have to say. Now, a blast in Jerusalem Al-Quds remains unclaimed by any Palestinian group. Meanwhile, bombs falling on Gaza certainly belong to the Israeli regime. Fatah executives see the raids as proof that Israel's Prime Minister is intent on thwarting the first visit of PA President Abbas to the besieged territory in years. What do you think is really behind the latest bombast and the bomb blasts? In Libya, the US Defense Secretary says there's no timeline for the end of the US-led assault on Libya as international opposition to the invasion there continues to grow. Already there are divisions within NATO and reports of civilian casualties as a result of US, French and UK airstrikes. So is this a necessary military intervention or another Iraq-style catastrophe? And yet again, American troops are caught on film treating Muslim civilians with less respect than animals. American soldier Jeremy Morluck this time posed with the corpse of a young Afghan boy as if it were a hunting trophy. Whilst other US soldiers have apparently kept body parts of victims, including a skull, as souvenirs. In Bahrain and Yemen, meanwhile, protesters continue to be fired upon or detained by their dictatorial regimes. But far from imposing a no-fly zone in these regions, Britain's buddies in the House of Saud have marched troops to Manama to enforce a no-democracy zone. There's lots to talk about, so pick up your phone, send an SMS or an email. And I should state from the very start that all the views I express in the next hour are purely my own and not those of Press TV. But this show isn't about me, it's about you. It's not scripted, it's broadcast live. So get in touch, call me now, +44 208 601 4555. And our first caller is Kiani from Atford or Watford. Welcome to Comment.
Good evening, Lauren. My name is Kiani. I'm from Oxford.
Oxford, sorry about that. Thanks very much for coming on. What would you like to comment on this evening?
Lauren, there's so many issues. One doesn't know where to start from nowadays. But I would like to start from the blast in Jerusalem. It's very ironic that whilst they are, everybody's busy in the Middle East, and somebody who hasn't taken the responsibility, and this is a sort of, in my view, I think it's a pretext to launch a full-scale war at Gaza, because they know very well that the Rafah border is going to be reopened, and the food, medicine, and all the necessary things which people desperately need are going to resume from that side, because we don't have no longer the type of regime that Israel wanted to have in Egypt. So before it really starts functioning, a border between Israel, between Gaza and the Egypt, they want to put some serious hindrance over there.
Interestingly, Hillary Clinton from the US, she has condemned the bombing by whoever it was in Jerusalem, but no condemnation of the murders of Gazan children this week by an Israeli missile that landed on children playing football. Always just condolences to the family from Obama, which is a change, but no condemnation.
Well, that's my point, is because the people are fully aware the two tier system they have, for one for the Israelis and one for the people of the Middle East, and we are considered to be not worthy of even a comment from the White House. But this is not the issue. We people are really, really awake. But my second point is, let's go to a little bit further, go to Pakistan. I was wondering if what people make out of this release of this so-called diplomat, who was not a diplomat, but he's been released within half an hour of quick fix by the court, and he's been sent off, and the people have been paid from by who? Hillary Clinton said, we never paid it. Pakistani government said, we never paid it. But this is quite a mystery that who this guy was caught with the all the sophisticated systems in his car, like spying.
Where was this, Kiani? Where was this? Where did this happen?
In Pakistan, in Lahore, Raymond Davis.
Okay, so we're not going to move on to Pakistan for today, but thank you for your comments on Palestine. We're interested in talking, of course, about the US soldiers who have been convicted for 24 years apiece, life sentences in some cases, for the apparent murder of civilians in Afghanistan who were doing nothing. They faked a combat zone, killed them in order to take photographs of the dead bodies as some sort of grisly photo album to send home. I mean, surely this is one of the lowest points that we've ever reached with the American army abroad. And what's interesting is this lack of real viewpoints from the soldiers about what they're actually doing there. They're trained to be to go to violent situations, but not with any moral basis, it seems. Tony in London is on the line now. Tony, welcome to comment.
Hi. Hi, Lorraine. Nice talking to you. I've always looked forward to this opportunity to speak to you. It's, you know, and I must tell you, you're doing a marvellous job, you, Yvonne, and George Galloway. You know, I've just returned from abroad, and, you know, you're all rising stars. The whole world listens to you, and they're so pleased with the wonderful work that you do. Now, we carry on with the Middle East. Again, we see that the Israelis seem to choose a time when to attack the Gazans, when the world's attention is diverted away. Now, in this case, Libya and the uprisings in the Arab world, they seem to choose this time to hit at these poor Gazans. Then we go on to the United Nations resolution. How many times, Lorraine, the Israelis have decided to ignore United Nations resolution and nothing is done? And they seem to get away with their lies, lies, lies. And the Americans seem to be powerless against their, what I call, Zionist paymasters. You know, these Arab rulers, autocratic, they've got to realize that Saddam was a darling. And as soon as Saddam... you know, when they realised they could no longer use him, he turned out to be a villain.
There's two points to take up here, Tony. The first is that the Israeli regime would certainly say that they're only now active in Gaza in a response, excuse me, to a recent missile rockets landing in no man's land from the direction of Gaza towards Ashdod. And secondly, I think it's interesting to look at this moment in Palestinian politics when an internal uprising might have led, was about to lead to a unity government. Now, Netanyahu went on an American TV program last week, and he said plainly, if there is a unity government, if there is this coalition between Fatah and Hamas, Netanyahu said the peace process is dead. So I think quite clearly we have a statement there on what they're hoping to happen, what Israel is hoping to happen, the division remaining in Palestine. I think we'll move on now to Mahmoud Oman. Welcome to comment. Are you there?
Yes, Lorraine, good evening. Good to see you in George Galloway's place.
Thanks from me. I'm not so sure. Thanks from George, but he'll be back soon, inshallah. What would you like to comment on this evening?
Inshallah. Well, number one, I would like to comment on the Saudi intervention in Bahrain, and I think that is going to leave a long and a big scar as far as the relationship are concerned with the AGCC countries.
Well, I think the main comment there to make, isn't it, is the fact that Cameron, the British Prime Minister, was over in the Middle East just weeks ago selling the Saudis more weapons.
Well, I'm sure if they're making quick bucks, why not?
OK, thanks very much for your comment. Kevin in the UK, welcome to comment.
Hello there, Lauren. I'd just like to say... love the programme. Comment. A lot of the stuff on Press TV, I think you're doing a fine job. I find the bias of the BBC quite sickening, to be honest, and the lack of coverage of what's been going on in Israel.
What have you noticed this week particularly lacking in other areas? I suppose what's interested people that I've been in touch with is the imbalance in coverage, this hysteria about the Jerusalem bomb, as grisly as it was, but the silence on the rockets being sent on Palestinian homes right now in the Gaza Strip. Is that something that irritates you?
Well, it's the whole imbalance of it. If I want to say anything happening on what's going off in Gaza, I watch press TV, because the BBC just doesn't show it unless it's in favour of Israel, because they're so under the thumb now of the Israeli, pro-Israeli lobby groups, that they count out of them every time. The slightest report, like what I'm doing with Jeremy Bowen, if it doesn't go in their favour, they complain about it and they clamp down on it.
Kevin, why do you think the BBC doesn't show even-handed footage, in your opinion?
Pro-Israeli lobby groups, to be honest. I think they count out of them too much. But getting back to what's going on in Israel, it's like I say, I have to watch press TV, because terrestrial channels here, they just don't show what's happening in Gaza.
You know, the problem is that for too long, major international news channels, unlike Press TV, they don't trust Palestinian reporters. There's a racism there. They will take their news feed from the IDF, they'll take it from the Israeli generals, but then they won't go to have an alternative voice on the ground in Ramallah, in Nablus, or in Gaza, which is something that we make sure happens. And that is, then you're able to get a real balance about what it's like to live in those places. I think we can go now, thanks very much, Kevin, to Ghaffar in Qatar. Welcome to comment.
Oh, hi, good evening.
Good evening.
It's nice to be with you again on Press TV, and I've got to commend all your efforts to sensitize the whole world regarding the imbalance of the so-called Western power.
Thanks very much for that.
My interest of talk tonight will be on the Israeli violent and attack on the Palestinians, which has been going on for decades without a concerted effort of the so-called world power. They will see when there is an injustice in Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya, and it takes them no time to deploy your aggressive military attack on the people just in the interest of oil. But they seem to close their eyes and turn their blind eyes on the injustice met by the Israelis on the people of Palestine. And this is absolutely unacceptable. The toothless United Nations, they don't know how to resolve the problem between the Israeli and the Palestinians for decades, but they can quickly call on France, UK, US, NATO to deploy their bomber jets on the soil of Libya.
It certainly does show a political unwillingness to protect the people of Palestine. There's no doubt about that. You're right. If they can scramble into action, a no-fly zone over Libya in a matter of days, and yet 1,400 people died in 2009 because of Israel's Operation Cast Lead. The Goldstone report then criticised Israel and said that there were mass killings there, that there were breaches of human rights law. Nothing done. No fly zone over Gaza. So where is international fairness? Where is international law?
Flotilla. We all witnessed what happened on the flotilla recently when relief materials were being shipped towards Gaza. And eventually, the whole world did not do nothing to allow justice to prevail on those conflicts. Now, if Israel is seen as a no-touch zone for the so-called world power, why can't they just stick to their own government and allow different countries to sort out their own problems? The Israelis have been bombing Palestinians for several days now. They do not do nothing. When an Israeli is dead, the old national television media will carry the news. But hundreds of Palestinians are being killed every day, and it never come on the news.
Do you know what? I really appreciate your comments. I think I'd like to throw a question now to everybody watching tonight so we don't go around in a circle. We know that the Palestinians have been bombed for 60 years by the Israeli regime, the first bombing in around 1948 of Palestinian civilians. No-fly zone implemented by the UN so far. But Egypt today has just dropped its international flights to Israel. So let's ask you what you can do if you're annoyed about the situation in Palestine. What can you do in your countries? Let's have a think about that. We'll go over now to Hirabi in London. Welcome to comment.
Hello, darling. Hello. How are you today?
I'm fine. Alhamdulillah.
Good to hear you. So I forget your name, but I just get to use for George Galloway in this program. It's a lovely program. I really like, and I'm usually every day I watch this program. Very interesting. Actually, I want to talk about Bahrain and Saudi interference about Bahrain. Western double standard is really getting, you know, confusing around the Muslim world. You know what happened? The day gave the green light for Saudi to send their arms and to shoot and kill innocent demonstration Bahrainian who are peacefully demonstrating and killing and shooting them. You know, when you see all these things, and the next day they meet in Brussels and they're sending NATO bombing to blaming for Libya crisis, he's killing innocent people. And while the Bahrainian army and Saudi army went to the hospital and killing innocent people discriminately. That's not fair, and that's the double standard Western country now they're using against those puppet government in the Middle East. So I wonder why the world are just acting like they're blind while they are just looking their interest about some of the country when they have interest, and then they are not saying anything about when the Bahraini army and Saudi army interfere and they come and kill innocent people.
Thanks very much for your call. I think that's a very good question. Why not one rule for all as laid out in the UN Charter on human rights and engagement laws? I think the question of Bahrain is pretty much summed up in best by saying that it's really a naval base for the United States and they hope to use it in any future action against Iran. So the poor people of Bahrain are not likely to get representation from the US anytime soon. Jack London, a fantastic name, one of my favourite authors from East... Jack in London. Welcome to comment.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, I would like to talk on the current wave of demonstration taking place, like in Bahrain, in other parts of North Africa. I would like to let you know that a similar thing has gone to as far as East Africa now, in Uganda. Last month, there was an election there, but it was rigged. So people were called on the street by the opposition. They demonstrated in Kampala and Jinja. Unfortunately, tear gas as well as live bullets were used on this demonstration by this Museveni's government after rigging the election. See, people are just trying, you know, to air out their grievances and what he has done. He used soldiers to intimidate voters, ballot stuffing, and ghost voters. You go to vote, you find that your name is already ticked. And you are just chased away, that go away. You start wondering.
So thanks, really, Jack. Thanks very much for your call and for highlighting that Uganda as well has unrest there, people fighting for democracy and protesting there, and the world rather silent, not really looking at Uganda. Okay, thanks. We'll go to Mohammed now, I believe, in India.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for coming on to comment.
Good. Thanks a lot. I would like to make a comment on the recent attacks from Israel on Gaza. I know it's been going on since last 60 years now, but I would like to make a comment on Western media, which is what is they're covering. If you go on a BBC website now, they're showing that two missiles have been fired from Gaza to Israel, but they're not showing why these missiles have been fired and what they bear till date. They're not showing that for innocent children were killed in the missile attack, including 20 people where they just fired a missile in Gaza Strip. They were not Hamas. They were not any Islamist or any other extremist group. Why they were killed? I mean, another thing. And the Western media, what they're showing is their own feelings. They're not capturing what exact reality is. What they want to show is what their masters want them to show. So the first thing is that. And then another thing I would like to ask you, that do you really think that Israel wants two-state solution? I mean, do you really believe that Israel is propagating in the world that they want two-state solution where, you know, and what they're saying that the Palestinians are the obstacle for the two-state solution. What are your views?
Let's have a little think about that. The two-state solution is currently impossible because there are 500,000 illegal Jewish settlers in the West Bank. There is no Palestinian land left coherently to create a state in unless 500,000 Jewish extremists withdraw to the 67 borders. Now, that would then propagate and cause a civil war within Israel. So unless you can see that a leader, an Israeli leader, is willing to have that on their home front, then I think the two-state solution is looking ever more distant. But thanks very much for your comment. Mahmoud in London, welcome to comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Keep up with this commendable good work you're doing on this channel. Congratulations for choosing paradise for your next eternal life. Allah bestows his ultimate mercy on only the best of his creation. Now, talking about Bahrain and Saudi's army killing merciless people and also in other countries also, shameful that they call themselves Muslim. They are not definitely Muslim. A Muslim can never kill an unarmed person. This must be a pseudo-Muslim. They are not Muslim. Allah says, if you kill one innocent person, you have killed the whole of humanity. Mm-hmm. And if you save one human being, you have saved the whole of humanity. So how can this people, who are supposed to be the champion of the religion, is carrying out such horrendous work?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. I mean, you know, the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, shows that Muslims are only expected to act in self-defense or in defending their faith and their women and their children and not to be aggressors. So it's hard to know how people can shoot on unarmed protesters in these regions. Thanks very much, Mahmoud. We're going to go on to Mohammed now in Wales. Welcome to comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
How are you? All right?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Mike commented that in Libya, right, okay, we got no-fly zone. And basically, what we're going to do is, we're going to send our troops there. We're going to control the oil. That was our plan to start off with. Right? And basically, this uprising, they knew what Gaddafi was like. And basically, they passed the resolution quick enough. And they said, we are not going to send any troops to Libya, and that's what they're going to do because they need the oil. And my other comment is that in Bahrain, it's a tragedy is happening there. It's every innocent people are, most of them are being persecuted and punished. They are civilians with peaceful message, and the Western and the Muslim world is not doing anything, and the Saudis, shame on them. Shame on this king, right? He calls himself a king. He is just a thief.
Thank you, Mohammed. We're just right about out of time now, and I'm going to say thank you very much to all our callers in this part. We're going out to a break, and we'll see you back very soon. And welcome back to Comment with me, Lauren Booth, standing in for George Galloway, who's standing for election in Scotland and will be back in 6 weeks. Tonight, we've been talking about airstrikes on Gaza, bus bombs in Jerusalem, do you feel they have the parity, the equality of coverage in the mainstream media? And what about the US response to these attacks? Condemnation from US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on rockets coming out of Gaza, but only condolences about the ones going in. We want to hear your comments. Meanwhile, the Libyan actions taken by the US, the UK and France, is it already unravelling? Civilian deaths, disagreement within NATO, haven't we been here before? Give us a bell, you know the numbers. We've got Hassan al-Khatib now from Egypt, I believe, with a report from the Rafah crossing.
Yes. Hello there. I am on the border between Egypt and Gaza. We can actually hear the bombs being fallen on Gaza, and it's a pretty scary moment, but I could tell you more about a project, an initiative that has been taking place right about now. It's called the Egyptian International Coalition for Lifting the Siege and Rebuilding Gaza. Basically, it's been set up by a group of Egyptian youth who want to help the Palestinians and want to take materials, supplies to rebuild Gaza. They're just outside the border and they're camping outside. I think this is the first time activists are camping outside the Gaza border in Egypt. They're awaiting a response from the Deputy Foreign Minister to allow them to take 10 tons of cement. I mean, this is unprecedented because if they were allowed to take 10 tons of cement through into Gaza, this would be almost, if you like, breaking the siege because, as we know, Gaza is under siege and no amount of cement is allowed to get into Gaza. So,
okay, Hassan, thank you. I just want to say that many's a time when activists and Palestinians have been forced to camp in Rafah, but I think this is the first time that it's an Egyptian solidarity movement in this number going to the Rafah crossing, and the significance of course being that Rafah's only a crossing for people. Israel's always said you cannot have the Rafah crossing for materials. If Egypt opens this and succeeds with getting these goods through, then it'll break the siege. But Hassan, just tell me, because the rockets, are they falling now on Gaza from Israel? Is it quiet now?
I mean, we've been, over the past few hours, we've been hearing bombs falling, and we can actually hear them and almost feel the after effects. Obviously, it's a dire situation for the Palestinians. They're being bombed now for a few days now. People's attention has been, you know, shifting here and there, and on different revolutions and on different, events in the world. And I think we need to know, we really need to shift back the attention onto Gaza because it's going to turn out to be another massacre. And if the world's attention is away from Gaza, then many people will be killed, and there will be not enough international pressure on Israel to stop
Hassan, can
attack.
I just ask you a quick question? You're with activists from Cairo, I believe. What do they feel about the poison chalice that is support for Palestine? Are the Egyptian people going to back off from supporting Palestine when they see these rockets falling and they know Israel's their neighbour? What are you picking up there?
Well, obviously, it's been now over a month since Mubarak has fallen, and people want to rebuild their country. But in the meantime, there are a lot of activists in Egypt who also want to rebuild Palestine, and they want to offer their helping hand. And there's 15 activists from Cairo, they've driven to the Rafah border, people who consist of lawyers, of engineers, of journalists, and these people want to go into Gaza and to help the people of Gaza. And Palestine is an important issue for the Egyptians. It has been for, you know, decades. It's something they will not forget, and especially what they've seen 2 years ago when Israel launched their assault against Gaza. And it's something they will not forget. And
thanks very much, Hassan. Thank you very much for that report from the Rafah crossing between Egypt and Gaza, trying with a group of Egyptian activists to get the first significant amount of cement through for the rebuilding that they're going to need again in the Gaza Strip. We're going to move on now to Patrick in Ireland. Welcome to comment.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Patrick.
I'd like to make 2 points. First point, when the British Army killed innocent civilians in Derry many years ago on Bloody Sunday, there were demands at the time that the UN sent a peacekeeping force in. The British government said that was impossible because Northern Ireland was an internal British affair.
Mm.
Libya is an internal Libyan affair.
Mm.
Yet Britain is one of the promoters of intervention. What does the UN stand for?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Is it, like the League of Nations, a plaything for a half a dozen of the most powerful countries in the world?
Well, we know as well that really the turning point in Northern Ireland was when the US withdrew its and changed its support as well, arguably, for some of the people fighting for freedom there. And then the British had to change their argument and really work with all the parties, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but my big point is, if it was illegal, or if the UN couldn't intervene in Northern Ireland, then they shouldn't be able to intervene in internal affairs other places. Because, well, there should be a sense of justice in the world, a sense of equality of all people. One or two people shouldn't be able to dominate the rest.
But you know where this came from? This happened, I think, in 2002 or 2003. There was a right to intervene Congress taken in the wake of Rwanda and Kosovo and the Balkans. And that's when the UN said that intervention would be a strategy they'd consider if it saved more lives and cost more lives. Thanks very much for your question.
I'd like to make the second point.
Yes, Patrick,
and it's
go
about
ahead.
Palestine. The Palestinians have been fighting from their concentration camp in Gaza, and it is a concentration camp. They have been fighting to implement Resolution 242 and the other UN resolutions. Why on earth doesn't the leadership, the democratically elected leadership of Hamas, ask Britain, America, and the rest of the UN to assist it in implementing the UN resolutions in Palestine?
You know, the EU and the US recognise Hamas as a terrorist organisation, and that position for them has not changed. Israel recognises denounces Hamas, rather, as a terrorist organisation. They will not deal with them.
Then let Fatah. The point is, there must be, you know what I mean, the Palestinians are seeking to implement a resolution by the UN. There has to be equality.
Patrick, your frustration is felt by many UN workers who I've personally met, who know that not just one resolution, but dozens of resolutions, I think some 60 in all, have been ignored by Israel, that they should have been observing with their behaviour towards Palestinians. Thank you for your call. Samu in France, welcome to comment.
Good afternoon, or good evening, how are you?
Good evening, what's your question or comment?
It's rather unfortunate. Everybody is saying almost the same thing. It is the sole responsibility of the Security Council of the United Nations to give peace to every country where there is problems. That's the sole responsibility of the Security Council. When we are now seeing the Security Council is giving selective peace to countries that are so interested in than other countries around the world, that's where the question comes from. We have seen series of people, many thousands of people are now dying in Cote d'Ivoire. Mm. And the war in Cote d'Ivoire started before the war in Libya. We are seeing the UN airstrike against civilians in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The 1973 UN Security Council Convention is talking about civilian safety. We are seeing the U.S. drone is killing civilians in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Nobody is talking about that. Civilians are continuing to die and suffer in Cote d'Ivoire. Nobody is talking about that.
Sami, let me ask you a question. Then I'm going to summarize something that the British Prime Minister David Cameron said this week, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, because you can't do good everywhere, it doesn't mean you can't do good somewhere. Are you saying that there's under no circumstances should foreign forces help the rebels or the civilians fighting Gaddafi at the moment?
That is a very shame of Derek Camara. Because if Derek Camara can do more in Libya, I believe he can do better in Cote d'Ivoire, where you find thousands of people are dying and suffering from the hands of Laurent Gbagbo. We are also knowing that jet fighters are flying over Cote d'Ivoire, civilians are also dying. The drones is falling in Pakistan and Afghanistan by the UN soldiers. One of the UN soldiers have just admitted that, yes, he did kill Afghanistan civilian that he sentenced to 24 years in jail. So we are seeing action against Libya, like a selective thing that somebody does, not like Gaddafi, and they want to claim some oil, like we do not have oil in Ivory Coast.
Samu from France, thanks very much for your comment. You're certainly right about Cote d'Ivoire. That has been destabilized and full of unrest for a very long time, and no talk of intervention on behalf of the rebels there. Hamid in Reading, welcome to comment.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, rather. Yes, thanks for having me tonight. Yeah, I would like to talk about the issue in Libya, and obviously in conjunction with what's happening in Ivory Coast. I'm from Ivory Coast, and I'm very concerned. There is no attention on the issues in Ivory Coast right now. I mean, it's been going on since December, and it took just a few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks for the West to intervene in Libya. Ivory Coast crisis has been going on for at least 4 months, and nothing has been done for that. At least 480 people have been killed so far. The real figure is quite high. It's higher than that. It's nearly...
I'm glad you're giving us the figures there. 480 people dead, rebels yeah. Uprising, trying to get freedom there. But let's talk about Libya. Are you saying it's a good thing then? You support NATO, if they join together, going into Libya, doing what they have to do to oust a dictator. Is that how it feels for you?
Well, it doesn't feel like that for me at all. What I'm saying is that they're just going in Libya for oil. It is as simple as that. It is very clearly... the reason for the West to intervene in Libya is nothing else but oil, because if there is common sense here, common sense will dictate that they will first intervene in Ivory Coast. Mm. In Ivory Coast, we've elected a president. He is confined in an hotel. He's been there for 4 months. In Libya, there is a president. There's been, social unrest, social issues there. I obviously accept what is going on in Libya. It is not acceptable.
I think we're going a little bit off the topic here, but it's really great to hear from you from the Ivory Coast. Thanks very much for your call. I hope we'll do another show on that important place. Let's hear now, I think, from Asmar in London. Asmar, can you hear me?
Yes, assalamu alaikum, sister. Nice to see you, and how are you?
Good evening, I'm well. Thanks very much for calling. What's your comment tonight?
Well, I hope you bear with me. First of all, you mentioned Hillary Clinton. What do you expect from her? Her son-in-law is from Israel, so she only mentioned Gaza, but does nothing to hurt the Gazans. I mean, that's been going on for such a long time now that everybody's getting sick of the whole situation. And the leaders in the Muslim countries are still in cahoots with the West and cannot clean up their own mess in their own countries and rely on the West. And that is why you see all these Western countries are so selective in which countries they want to bomb. And, when the Muslims stand up on their own feet and do the job themselves, that's the only way they will ever get any respect. And as for Saudi and Bahrain leaders, they're Zionist Arabs who have no right to be there in the first place. They're tyrannic leaders and only, saying they're kings and princes, when we all know as Muslims there should be only one king, and that is God Almighty, and one day they'll all be defeated, inshallah.
What do you make of David Cameron leading the calls for attacks on Libya, but being silent on Saudi and actually visiting the region and doing more arms deals?
Right. In Islam, as you know, we call people like him hypocrites. And that's all they are. They're only there for one thing and one thing only, and that's the oil, same way they did in Iraq. Now, that's a trick, and it's about time the Muslims wake up in these countries and rely on the West to do their own dirty work. They had a bit of respect from me in the beginning, but now I think they're losing it gradually because this guy, Gaddafi, he's only one man, isn't he? And if they feel that strongly about him, why can't... Okay, the West, when they have frictions between themselves, they all gather around, sit down amicably, work it out. Why can't the same thing happen instead of keep dropping bombs? Are they just out to kill Muslims or what?
Thanks,
Asma. I get.
You're right, but Gaddafi is one man. He's a kind of multi-billionaire, heavily armed, with Western training in how to put down insurrections, if we can call it that. So, yeah, he's not just one guy. He's a little bit more powerful than that. But thanks very much for your call. Shamin in Saudi Arabia now. Welcome to comment.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
This is Dr. Shmi from Saudi Arabia. I just wanted to say that U.S. is very quick to bomb Muslim countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, and now presently Libya. Why doesn't USA apply a no-fly zone over Gaza and bomb Israel if they don't comply?
Yeah, well, we certainly know that the U.S. is too close an ally and supporter and co-armor of Israel to do that, and the U.K. as well. But I'm interested in the fact that you're in Saudi Arabia. What's the feeling now there, both about sending 1,000 troops into Bahrain, and also, you know, are there struggles for an uprising in Saudi Arabia?
No, it's pretty calm and quiet in Saudi Arabia. Yes, there are troops in Bahrain from Saudi Arabia. And there are a lot of people who are not happy about it, but, you know, it's a kingdom, and you cannot say anything here, unfortunately.
But what happened? There were recent protests in the streets of Saudi. Do you think...
There were a few protests a couple of days back. It's calm and quiet here. Now people have come to understand it. And our king, Abdullah, he's a very generous person, and he has spoken to the people himself personally and redressed their grievances.
Oh, so I know, $37 billion or something given for social causes, otherwise known in some other countries as a bribe?
No, it's not a bribe, actually. This is what they wanted. So he gave them what they wanted. So once the people get and their grievances are redressed, they settle down.
Okay, somebody happy in Saudi Arabia. Thanks very much for your call. We'll go now to Mahbub in London. Thanks very much for calling comment. What do you have to say?
Hi. It's a very interesting program all the time, actually, I hear. And I feel that this program should be even circulated more and more, if possible, to other medias like Western-controlled media, like BBC, Sky TV we have, and all those. If possible, in near future, that's what I'm telling. Okay, I have to comment on the total thing in a brief. Just give me a few seconds. Okay, first of all, we know who is controlling the whole world, who is the decision makers. These are all same old colonial powers, all those people. And they have established the UN, the organization, I should say, it's a puppet organization. It doesn't have any... people demand is not never fulfilled by this organization. It is only fulfilled by the demand of those people, those colonial powers, where they want to pass the resolution, they can pass it. They can get it because they have the veto power. They have other things as well. Now, the placement of Israel, I think Israel has been utilized by all those Western people against the you know, there is a problem with the Jews and Muslims. So these things have been always utilized by the Western against the Muslim.
Okay, Mahbub, thanks very much. I'm not sure that we can call the Palestinian question a question between Jews and Muslims because they've been coexisting for thousands of years in that region peacefully until the creation of the State of Israel, some might say, but that's another show which you can call in about. Right now we'll go to Stuart in Canada, though. Welcome, Stuart.
Yes. The United Nations is just a lab. It needs to be expanded to represent other people into the world. For instance, If we go and we look into expanding the United Nations, we'd be looking at India. But there's also Nepal. There's also Pakistan and other countries.
Mm.
If we look at Africa, we can look at South Africa, or we look at Nigeria, but there are other African countries. And it means that what we're saying, that it is only certain countries, and you have to be powerful, have money, who can make decisions about the world. So we got to restructure the United Nations in order to be able to get fairness and honesty, because the old powers have not.
But could you get agreement, though? That's the problem. I mean, of course, the wider the voices, the more interesting the conversation, as here with comment. But too many voices, too many arguments. Could the UN actually work? That's their argument.
Yes, for all the, my life, I have not seen the UN done any good work. It has to be restructured because times have changed. And that's all I have to say. When that's done and that's changed, then we'll have fairness in the world. How can the United States turn around and be going to other countries when they bomb the hell out of Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and then turn around and talk about fairness and they're going to patrol it? They're the biggest disgrace you can think about. Britain, they've suppressed so many people around the world.
Thanks very much for that final call for today. I guess we can summarise this programme today as let's call an end to the hypocrisy. One rule for all, not one rule for one and not the others. And that's the end of the show. Thanks for all your calls. And we will be back again next week on comments. We look forward to hearing from you then. Bye-bye for now. Thanks very much.
Hello, just comment your name and the phone number. And just make sure that your volume is set to 0. 0, 0.
Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know.
You
can
directly
put through the phone number and then we'll be back.